Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus gives us our marching orders. Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, we met many military people in the Washington area. Military people know what it's like to be given orders. I was talking to somebody the other day that says they got their orders, which meant they're moving on to a new assignment, which means they're selling their home or they're packing up their home and they're going to a different place, traveling across the country, reestablishing a home, taking up a new position, doing new work, or they're quitting. They have that. But everybody who's in the military knows what it is to get orders. The Great Commission is Jesus giving our orders. This is what you are called to do. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. You've got your orders. Now, why don't we do? We have the choice not to do it. But if we're a follower of Jesus Christ, these are the orders that we do. Now, why is it that we don't? I want to talk about that today and give you a little encouragement. Heavenly Father, I believe that, you know, most everybody who follows you, we really do want to obey you. There are things that hold us back. Lord, would you speak to our hearts? Show us that you're greater than our fears, that we might live our lives to honor you in ways that really matter. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Go and make disciples. Why is it that people, followers of Christ, they know those orders, but we don't do it? You know, it's easy to say, well, it's because people don't really love God. Well, I don't think that's it. I think that people can love God and still struggle. It's not that people are defiant. It's not that people don't care. It's not that we're completely callous toward the condition of lost people. It's not because we want to raise our fist to God and say, I'm going to be rebellious and not do what you called me to do. I think often it's because of fear. There are fears that hold us back. Last week, Todd Wilson and I spoke at a couple of conferences on the issues that we're talking about today, really with church planting. Why is it that churches don't start new churches? You know, if we're going to be obedient to go into all the world and make disciples, then you're going to have to start new churches. You don't go into all the world unless you're starting new churches. In fact, you don't reach lost people unless you're starting new churches. It's been an established reality, marching order, really, for the last 35 years, that there's no more effective means of reaching lost people than starting new churches. There's something about the way God works, as new churches are getting started, that reach people who are not yet reached. And so in our conversation with people, we were talking about how can we be part of a movement of churches that start churches? And I think the fear that keeps churches from starting churches is very similar to the fears that keeps Christians from sharing faith with their friends. You see, the reality on the ground is not good. According to the best research that's been done, scientific research done by reliable organizations, 7% of churches in America reproduce. That means 93% of all churches in the United States are not reproducing churches. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples, and 93% are saying, we'll focus on here at home, not starting new churches. What's especially, what adds to that our concern is that of churches that are planted, now you would think if there is a group of people that has the DNA for reproduction, it would be a new church that's been started. But of the new churches that get started, less than a fourth, three out of four don't start new churches. Now think about that. If you are a couple and you're able to have children, but you choose not to have children, or let's say you have children and you only have one child or two children, but on average, 3 out of 4 children don't have children, then you can see your family lineage is probably going to come to an end pretty soon. And so the danger for churches not starting churches is it's really going to be hard for us to go and make disciples of all nations if churches are not reproducing churches. That's the picture in front of us today. And so we were presenting for them how we want to be a part of a movement where we are bringing together churches to help start churches. Again, why does it matter? There's no more effective means of reaching lost people than starting new churches. Why does it matter? There's a real sense. I mean, when I was a kid, we used to say, you know, the church is just a generation away from extinction. While I think that's a bit of an exaggeration, I think the point is clear. The church of this generation is responsible to hand on a stronger church to the next generation. Now, I realize at this point, some of you are saying, Brett, what does this have to do with me personally? Well, a couple things. First of all, I want you to understand what New Life is a part of. If you're part of New Life, what we are a part of in starting new churches and why. But second, it does have a direct analogy to each of our lives as well. So why don't new churches get started? Again, I don't think the issue is desire primarily. There are a lot of churches that want to start new churches, but they just fear they can't. They have a belief problem. So externally, behaviorally, they want to start new churches, but when it comes to their beliefs, they don't believe that they can because they never have. And therefore, fear has taken over their attitude. And when you get fear and beliefs, wrong beliefs working against you, it's really hard to change that behavior. What are the fears that keep churches from starting new churches? The fear of scarcity. Scarcity of resources, scarcity of knowledge. Scarcity of resources. How do we start church? Who are we going to send? We don't have people on staff to send. We don't have church planter to send. We don't have enough money. We hardly have enough money to pay the bills, or we already have our missions money committed. We don't have the resources to plant a church. Now, I would suggest to you, which is what we were telling these churches, I really do believe that every church is one decision away from being a church planting church. You can any church today can decide we're going to be a church planting. We're going to get in the church planting game. But you have to overcome the fear of scarcity of resources. The second fear is the fear of scarcity of knowledge. We don't know what we're doing. Or they're afraid. Even if we had all the resources, not sure we have the wisdom to be able to do. It's kind of like if I were to give you a cake box with ingredients inside and directions. Do you think you could make that cake? If you have the resources, you have the knowledge, you say, sure, I think I could do that. Okay. What if all you had was a picture and a challenge? Here's a picture of a cake. Now you go make a cake. How many people do you think could do that? How many people that you know could do that? Now, my grandmother probably could do that, would enjoy doing that kind of thing. I mean, you know that you need some flour, you need some water, maybe some other ingredients. But most of us are like, I don't even know where to get started. I know I need an oven, but what temperature do you put? There's just so much you don't know about it. It would make you afraid to start. There's no way, I wouldn't start it with a box and the directions, let alone just a picture. And the reason a lot of churches don't plant, start new churches, is because not only are they afraid of scarcity of resources, but they're afraid we don't know how to do it. Sure, give us a, see a picture. We see the New Testament churches getting started. Sure, we see other people. But how do we do that? Not quite sure. And so our solution that we were presenting last week is we need to work together. God has called us to work together.
Individually, we can't. Together, we can. And so what we're doing through the thing, we've done this through the years, is we will bring churches together to network, to partner together, maybe two or three or four churches, and together they have the resources. Now, some may have more resources than others. We have an association, a group of churches that are working on planting a church right now. There's one church that's about 100 people. They're a church plant. They haven't started very, they're very young. They maybe have a couple $1,000 a year that they can give toward, but they can be part of it. But they're part of it with other churches that have more resources, with other churches that have started churches before. And together they get to help plant a church, and together they get to learn how to start a church, so that when that church gets started, they can then be part of another association of churches that come together to plant, to start new churches together. New Life has started over 300 churches in the history of New Life. There's a sense in which we've never started a church alone. We've started a church in different churches in different ways, but we've always worked with other churches and other organizations to plant. And I think that's the biblical model. You look at the book of Acts, the churches weren't starting churches by themselves for the most part. The Apostle Paul would go out, not by himself, but he went out with Barnabas, and then he went out with Silas, and always going out together. And the churches were working together, and the church would support each other as a result. Now, what does this have to do with you? First, I want you to understand what New Life is up to. We start new churches because God has called us to reach lost people. There's no more effective means to do that than starting new churches. And we're not going to be able to go into all the world and have an impact beyond our lives if we're not starting new churches. The direct application, though, for you is with your own sharing of faith. It's with your own discipleship. Why don't we share our faith? Often, I don't think it's desire, a lack of desire. I think most Christians want to obey. Most Christians would love to have a situation where they can share Christ with a friend or a loved one and watch that loved one come to Christ and be baptized and then walk with them. Everybody would be thrilled to experience that, but we're afraid. We don't know what to do. We lack the time. We lack the accountability, the encouragement, the knowledge, whatever it is. The answer for us is to work together. Jesus says to the 12, go and make disciples. To the 120, he says, stay here in Jerusalem until I send the Holy Spirit on you with power. You see, together we pray. And as we pray together, God gives us the resources. God gives us the opportunity. What if you got together with some people and just some of your friends said, hey, let's pray this week. Let's pray for the next month for God to give us opportunities to share our faith. And then what if you would pray or walk together? Hey, let's go to Dunkin' Donut. Let's go to this restaurant and just pray that God will give us an opportunity to start a conversation. Let's walk down, into some shopping center, and let's just walk around and pray and see if God puts on our heart, God directs us to ask somebody, how can we pray for you? Or just start a conversation. Hey, how are things going for you today? Hey, how can we help you today? Don't force anything. In the parable of the seed sowing, Jesus told in Matthew chapter 13, the sower of seeds doesn't force the seed on, but he just sows. So look for opportunities to sow. What if you would pray with somebody, prayer walk with somebody, go sit someplace with somebody, and you're praying and looking for opportunities to start conversation. I can guarantee, most of the time, you don't have immediate response. Often you need to expect that a lot of people are going to say, well, thank you very much. And maybe it's not good. But if it's 1 in 50, if it's 1 in 25, isn't it worth the risk? And when the person, you get in that conversation, you're not in that conversation alone. And if somebody asks you a question you find difficult, you're not answering it alone. You're praying for God to give you ideas and to give you words or to give you silence and say, hey, we don't know. Be glad to explore that together. And then you disciple together. You're not alone in sharing your faith and walking people to follow Christ. That's why we have worship on Sunday. One of the reasons is for you to be able to invite your friends and to, hey, why don't you come to church with me to experience God with you? And then it gives you something to, you know, most people say they would come to church if they were invited by a friend, promised to be met by the friend, and the friend promised to take them out to eat afterwards. Invite somebody to Sunday morning. Invite somebody to join you for your Bible study, your Bible discussion group. I have a couple of Zoom groups that meet, and I'm so thankful for them. You know, one on Wednesday night, one on Saturday morning. And the reality is, if those groups only met in person, they wouldn't happen. You know, my group last night, we start at 6:30, but people were arriving home, welcome to Northern Virginia, as the group was starting. If that group was starting at 7 o'clock, people wouldn't be able to make it. Saturday morning, the group, I have guys from all over, from Florida to Ohio and scattered all over, wouldn't be able to happen if it happened in person. So you can invite people to groups like that. And we have people in this group, in these groups that are inviting their friends. Again, you're not doing it alone. Couple things and then we'll stop. The key for you and me to be effective in our generation, making a difference, sharing Jesus, the key is understanding that God uses ordinary people with ordinary gifts. The gospel is powerful, but God doesn't choose to use superstars all the time. He uses ordinary people like you and me. God did not make a mistake in making you the way that you are. The question is, how can we be obedient in trusting Him? We need to walk together. It's like that old illustration of the ember in the fireplace. Put that ember in the fireplace. You see that ember, the hot ember, surrounded by others. It'll flame and stay red hot for hours. But remove that ember from the fireplace and put it on the cold hearth, and it will grow cold in moments. Could it be that God is calling us to share Jesus, to make disciples together, as we walk together, encourage each other together, hold each other in loving accountability together, and God will grow His church as we share together? Heavenly Father, overcome our fears the way that you've provided us to with your people. Help us to walk together. What's it mean for each of us to connect? Help us to take next steps in that way, just to try something, to take an action, not just to let these words fall on soil that doesn't produce anything, but for us to take action and watch as you bless. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Thanks for joining us.